This is Canada Reads American Style, featuring two friends who love Canada Reads and Canadian literature. Welcome our host Rebecca from Michigan and Tara from Ontario. Hi everyone, it is Rebecca and Tara, and we are very excited because today is the wrap-up for day one, 2024 Canada Reads. And we are not going to waste any time. We're going to jump right into it. So my question for Tara is, What was the one thing that really stood out for you today?
I would say what stood out for me was Myrian herself. I thought she did an amazing job of defending her book, of defending the romance genre in general. Like, I thought she was stellar. She remained cool. She knew she was going to have to defend her book as a romance and not just the book itself. And she was prepared for that.
I couldn't agree more. And in fact, it was funny because I felt like when it was time, I kept thinking, oh my gosh, it's getting close to the time where they're going to have to make a decision. And I didn't feel any book truly deserved to go off. Because Myrian did a good job. I was really impressed that she held her own. And that was kind of my initial takeaway is I don't remember ever watching in the number of years I've been watching. I always felt strongly like, oh yeah, this book should go off because they just didn't make their case. Yeah. But I really thought she did a super job. So kudos to her. And yeah. I do think they all had it. They were going to vote that book off no matter what kind of a job she did, right? That's how it felt.
I think so too. I think it was decided beforehand, which is unfortunate because I had decided beforehand, if I was voting, it's the book I would have voted off. But when I was listening to her, she actually changed my mind. I was thinking in my head, I'm going, okay, actually, I think I want that book to stick around for a little bit longer because I want her to see what she's going to do. And I was trying to figure out what book I would get rid of otherwise.
Did you decide which book you would have voted off day one?
It probably would have been Shut Up, You're Pretty, even though Kuta Kwashi did a great job as well. You know what? I'm going to take that back. I think based on the defenders, I would vote off Bad Cree. There we go. Yep. And take it back.
Okay. I was trying to lead you down my path because that is exactly what I thought. I felt like everybody came loaded for bear. I thought they all, not in an aggressive, like assertive way, everybody just stated their case so eloquently. But I must admit that I think Dallas, it's almost like he was in a different competition in a way, because I think he was very self-deprecating. He was very kind of funny. Yeah. But I felt like he was the odd man at the table because he just didn't put forth the same level of argument that everybody else did in defending their book. So I thought, okay, so do you vote off the book that wasn't as strong for you the first day, or do you vote off the book that doesn't have the best defense? And personally, I would have gone with who didn't make the best defense, and that would have been Bad Cree, which is kind of what I said, you know, in a recent podcast, because I just felt I was a little concerned about his ability to really make a strong case.
Yeah. It almost feels like he's letting the book speak for itself, and he can't do that because you have four other people that are speaking for their book. So he's got to speak for his book, and he's not doing that. He's just trying to let it go, like let it.
Yeah. And you know who else did that? This is always going to be the strongest memory for me was George Canyon for From the Ashes. He did the same thing. He tried to have that book speak for itself. And he never really, except for kind of a few things that he said, he never really dug deep to get us to care about why that book should still be on, you know, in the competition.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think that's kind of what Dallas might be doing, is just sort of holding on a little bit by his fingernails, maybe.
Yeah. Because there's no doubt that he loves the book. And, you know, sometimes when you love a book, it's difficult to explain. We've discussed this.
I know.
And you're just kind of like, everyone would love this book. And he also probably, because he's speaking with four other people that have also read the book. So he's got to be like, maybe he's thinking like, they know how good my book is. I don't really need to explain it to them because they already know. But he's not, today anyways, wasn't prepared to really stand up for his book.
Yeah. And a really good point about that is that you just made is he is an Indigenous man. He read this book. It resonated with him specifically for the Indigenous. I can't remember what the name of the.
Nihau, I think Nihau.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I apologize. I can't remember. Yeah. But the other four people at the table are not. Mm-hmm. So he needs to be able to find out where are they, where's the story going to resonate for them? Yeah. Because he talks very clearly about the aunties and how he feels and how it articulates a story that is so personal to him.
Yeah.
But he has to get the other four on board with him. And I don't think he realizes that because he's not pulling them in to the story in a way that they can, that it resonates with them, I guess.
Yeah. He started off strong at the beginning. There was, it might have been in his very opening statement. He mentioned, I'm going to have to paraphrase, how this was not a story that was of white colonialism or white saviorism. That was
right.
It, wasn't it?
White savior.
Written. Which I thought was a great point. Mm-hmm. And he gave some examples. And he needs to do that tomorrow. He needs to bring more of that out, that like that showed that he saw something in this book. He's digging deep. He's dug deep. Now he just has to bring it out more, like not just say it once and let it stand as a statement, but now really bring it out and give examples perhaps.
Okay. So what do you think about Naheed's defense of Denison Avenue? How did you feel about him?
Oh, I think he did a great job. Yeah. And I think he's got so much more that he can still say about that book too. And I love that he brought in about her writing and her use of space in the book and mm-hmm. He's ready to talk about the craft of the book as well, the writing.
And Dallas did make a really good point for him. I forgot that he was dyslexic, but he said that was the one book of the five that he read.
Yeah.
And he said that visually, that was really a compelling read for him as somebody with a disability. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wrote on here, great opening statement for Naheed. I wasn't really sure what he said. I just wrote down great opening statement, but I thought, he has this sort of quiet. I'm not even sure how to say it. This quiet resonance, right? Mm-hmm. He sits there and what he says carries weight more than if he talked faster or with more passion. It's like you definitely listen to him as a speaker.
I find they all have that. You're right. Like how you just described it, all five of them really have that like quiet.
Yeah.
But firm presence that you want to listen to whatever they're saying. And that energy too, like they have a nice quiet energy, but it's a solid energy.
Yeah. The only one I thought, I agree with you. I feel like they won't necessarily jump over each other or cut each other off or mm-hmm. try to make that could all change. We never know when the competition gets really hairy. We never know. But Heather, for me, I felt like, I think she's going to be somebody that Allie might need to like kind of
rein in.
There you go. Yeah. Because I felt like, okay, I know you have a lot to say. And I think especially as a writer, she has another perspective of the craft of all of these books, the writing as a craft. So I feel like she doesn't have that much time. So I kind of felt like, because I do feel like we didn't hear enough from Dallas. And also, Yeah, I just feel like there was a little bit more on her part.
Yeah, that is true, actually. Because even when Allie gave Dallas, there were a couple times that Allie gave Dallas the opportunity, like he made the opportunity for Dallas to get involved in the conversation. But it was at the end of the time, too. Like, mm-hmm. Allie was like, okay, you have 2 minutes, Dallas, go. And it's like, yeah. Whoa, that is. And he was like, everything has been covered. Where do I start? And I'm like, yeah, that is a really, he was thrown into a tough position right there to.
Yeah, I agree. It was a little intimidating to sort of say, okay, go. And then, yeah, for him to try to catch on there. And I have to say that Kutakwashi, wow. First of all, I just cannot wait to hear her in the rest of the competition because mm-hmm. I think she was just stellar. Like, yeah. I would say she and Nahid were the two that really, I thought, if it battles out that it's the two of them at the end, that would be really fascinating.
Yeah.
I don't know. With Heather, I'm just not sure. I don't know. I have to think about whether I think she'll be, it'll be those three at the end. You know what I mean? In terms of from the defender's standpoint, I'm not sure. How do you feel? Like, just, I know it's only day one, but who do you kind of see like standing at the end based on today's defenders?
I see those three, actually. Yeah. What I really liked about Heather a couple of times, too, is she defended the other books really well, too.
Mm-hmm.
She defended Meet Me at the Lake as a romance superbly at one point. And then I think Bad Cree, when she brought it into the Kokum character in Bad Cree. And she brought it back to her own book, but she did a great job of defending those two books as well, which I actually really liked. And it was nice because they were all too nice today. And I get it because it's day one.
Mm-hmm.
They were all a little too nice because when they voted at the end, based on what was said, I didn't know what they were going to vote. Like, I'm like, it could go anyway because no one really did any criticism against any book. And even when they did, when they started to with the romance, they were like, but I loved it. And now I want to read her second book. Like, I loved it. And then I think Nahid with Shut Up, You're Pretty, he was like, that was the one book that I couldn't connect with. But then you talked about it and I reread it and it was amazing. You know, so
yeah.
I found it odd in that it was just all smooth sailing and everyone's book was amazing. So you didn't know how they were going to vote.
Yeah, that's actually what I said was everything was just so like even keel. Like it was we were sailing on a smooth lake today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I have to laugh. There was one thing though that I felt was a little bit of a jab but I'm not even sure that the person would think of it as a jab, but I do think it's what people say. And that is, I'm not gonna lie. I probably have said this myself on this podcast many times. So I'm outing myself as well. But when when she said, when Allie asked at the end, you know, say something good about Meet Me at the Lake.
Yeah.
And then she sort of made this comment about, she said something like, yes, it's comfortable or it's comforting and it's, what was the one word she used? Hold on a second. I have to remember this. Oh, cozy. Yeah. And it just sounded like patting a child on the head saying, now, sweetheart, you're so smart, you know? And I just felt like, I didn't like the way she said that.
It's a little condescending.
Yeah, that's how it came across. But I don't even know that she would say that it was intentional. I just think that's the cross that romances bear, right? Is that people just minimalize them and everything. So so that was the only thing I felt like was a little bit of a jab.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else otherwise was, very nice.
I loved Myrian's final argument in which she said that Canda Reads should not be about catering to people who already read, but finding a gateway book for those who don't yet read. And I was like, that's when she turned me and I was like, maybe this romance needs to stick around a bit. And I did not really, I have a fraught relationship with this book and I haven't stopped thinking about this book and it's been about a month now. It's a weird Because now I've thought about it too. Even today, I'm like, if it had not been a happily ever after, mm-hmm. I would have liked this book much more.
Yeah.
But they had not ended up together. Mm-hmm. So if it had been more of a love story or a literary romance, but just that happily ever after, I thought did an injustice to the characters mm-hmm. that they came together. And so, you know, she made a really good argument for a romance.
I think so too. And even though I only read the first chapter and then I had to tap out, I really do think she spoke so eloquently about why it deserved to be there. Yeah. The only thing I wish she had done was to pick a romance just because of the comments that you had made to me about the pros and cons of the story to you, I kind of feel like I wish there had been just a different romance, because I love that she said something like, I'm a trailblazer or something. I can't remember the word she used, but how she's like the first one to introduce that genre.
Yeah.
And I do think, we were talking to some friends this weekend and somebody made the point that it isn't just the author who gets bashed when people go online and say bad things about a book, like, you know, like people mm-hmm. have said about this romance. It's also everyone who reads romances and who really loves it and love that book.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can't go around just bashing a genre that way. And I admit that I do, and I have at times, but again, I feel like I have a little skin in the game only because I read them so much that's why I got kind of burned out. But
yeah.
But I perhaps should not excuse myself from that. But I just wouldn't, I just wouldn't bash it to the in a rude way that I've seen online with people about this book being on there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Traditionally, does it belong on the list historically for the last 22 years of Canada Reads? No. But that's just it. She's trying to open that door.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah. No, not at all. And I mean, the literary landscape has changed, the world has changed a lot in 23 and 24 years. So why you know, so maybe it's time for the literary landscape of Canada Reads to change. Yeah. And I hope we see another romance next year.
Yeah. And so I just want to put this call out to all of our listeners that if you know of a romance that you would have loved to have seen, if a romance was going to fill a slot this year, is there a romance that you would have loved to have seen on the shortlist? And I'm just curious because I don't know I just know the genre of like romance, but not, I know there's a lot of subcategories within a romance novel, but literary romance, I don't know that I know, except when Heather mentioned like Pride and Prejudice, right? Mm-hmm. The ultimate romance novel. Yeah. But I'm just wondering if anybody out there has some recommendations for some titles. I would love to hear those.
Yeah, me too. I don't know a lot of Canadian romance authors either. So the ones I tend to hear more about are American authors. So
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Can I just mention too, that I just want to throw a call out to the people who create the little videos. Mm-hmm. I thought Denison Avenue, because of course they used the illustrations from Daniel Innes. Yeah. So that was absolutely stunning. I absolutely loved it. And I have to be honest, I did not, because I read the book on an ebook, and I'm going to buy the book, but I didn't realize that the illustrated part of it retells the story in images. I didn't realize that. I didn't connect the dots on all of that. Did you connect that was retelling the story?
Not quite, but kind of. I got the chronology because, so how I read it is I would sit down for my little reading session and I would read the book. And then at the end, when I was finished, before I got up, I would look through the pictures and I would follow along the pictures to about the point I realized what I was doing to where I had read.
Okay.
And then I would kind of stop, and then the next day would pick up at the same point and look at a few more pictures kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think I was doing that without realizing that that's what it was doing. Okay. But yeah, I didn't realize it until he said that either. And I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah. And which is one of the reasons I want to buy the book, which I will buy the book. Yeah. So, and then let's see, I felt that I thought the trailer for the future, I really loved that. I thought that was just, I thought just the way it made Détroit look with the children and the sounds of the children laughing in the background. Like I love that trailer. And I wish they should do, okay, so here's a call out. Maybe we'll tell Allie this when we talk to him on Friday, but I think CBC should put together for all the years, however long they've been making those little videos, they should put that out on video for us, or not, you know what I mean, whatever format, streaming, whatever, just so that we can see all of the books and all of those little videos that they make, because I just think they're so beautiful. Some of them are so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like I would like to own that, or I'd like to have access to it. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Anything else? Any other comments you want to make about First Day?
What did you think of the author cheering on? I didn't say that very well, but you know, when they had the authors come and give like a little like boost to what did you think of that?
You know, it was kind of interesting because I sort of, maybe they've always done the author first like this the first day, but I thought it came a little bit, I know. Sometimes they do have the authors at the end saying if they win, what would they give them? Although they didn't do that last year, but I kind of thought they all sounded pretty mellow. Like nobody seemed like overly excited. I don't know. It was like this. Today's was just like this very mellow. It's Monday. Yeah. We're going to do everything kind of. How did you feel about it? But I just thought it was like.
I liked Taya Matangi's. I liked what she had to say to Kuta Kwashi.
Mm-hmm.
I liked, Jessica Johns. I thought hers was great.
Mm-hmm.
Christine Wong and Daniel Innes. I thought theirs was kind of like.
It was so soft.
Lame. I'm going to say it was lame. I thought theirs was lame. And I'm like, do they even know they're addressing the heed like personally? It just seemed very like standard, you know, that they would say to anyone kind of thing. So that was that one was disappointing. And same kind of with Carly Fortune when she was like, I don't think I need to say anything to you. And then she just talked about the book herself. And I'm like,
yeah,
I thought that one was weird too, but
yeah. I just felt they all were a little subdued.
Yeah.
Again, today was just this day of calm and relaxation, even though as many of you probably know, if you went on YouTube to watch it live, we were watching the news in Saskatchewan for a period of time. I don't know why. So probably many of you switched over like I did really quickly. But so other than that, that was like the most excitement of the day. I was going, holy shit, I can't watch it on YouTube. I've got to jump over. And so, but anyway. So, and then I don't know what Allie's shirt said, but I thought it looked really cool.
I know, me too.
I want to ask him what it said. Because I thought that he just looked really good. Oh, and I will say Dallas's jacket or his coat, when he even made a comment, he said, aren't we going to talk about the coat?
I know.
I thought, I want him to mention like who made it or where did he get it? Because it was really beautiful.
Stunning.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're listening to it on the radio, of course, you do miss some of those things, but you can always go back and watch it online. But I thought they all looked fabulous.
They did. Really. I love that it's become a little bit of a fashion show.
Mm-hmm.
But in a fashion show and that everyone gets to be their own fashion. Cause Nahid was just in a very nice like shirt and a sweater and he looked very nice and comfortable but it was still part of the, like, you know, your Canada Reads fashion. I thought it was really cool.
I agree. Everybody gets to show a little bit of their own personality and who they are. And I love that as well. So, okay. So tomorrow we've got to make our little mini prediction.
Mm, okay.
What do we think we'll get voted off tomorrow?
Okay. I'm going to base it on, that's a tough one. So like Dallas has not done a great job, but I think he has a book that the others have really enjoyed. You know what I mean? Like, will his book carry him through? That is tough to say. Okay. I'm going to go with Bad Cree.
Okay. I strongly say Bad Cree.
Yeah.
I just don't think that I just don't think he had enough of an argument today. And I am a little concerned that you know, I was telling somebody, I almost feel like he, or maybe I just said it, I can't remember now, but he's like, he's in a different zone from the others. So yeah. I'm not just not sure he has the capacity. Certainly I'm not saying intellectually or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but yeah. It could be, let's face it. You and I just had that podcast that we did about how, when we love something, it is, like you said, hard to articulate. And so maybe he's just struggling to really, you know, push that out there, that how much he loved this book, but for other people to be able to connect with. So maybe he just doesn't have that skill, but I clearly think that it will be bad Cree. And if it's anything other than that, I will be surprised.
Yeah. I'll play devil's advocate.
Okay.
I wonder if anyone, but it's Canada Reads. It's usually like very civil and very polite.
Mostly.
But would you keep a book around that has a weaker defender, thinking that your book can go further against a weaker defender? But then you're also playing the cards that your book is not the one voted off then.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So maybe not. Maybe that wouldn't work when it's only four books. It's not a lot of leeway to.
You're right. They could all go after Shut Up, You're Pretty.
Yeah.
They could. Okay. So that's what I will say. I'm going to cheat and do two things. One, if they just go by based on which book, based on the defender, I would say it would be Bad Cree. But if it's the strength of a book, because I do think, like you said, Nahid spoke really eloquently about Shut Up, You're Pretty.
Yeah.
And Heather talked really beautifully about Bad Cree. So if they're looking to really go after somebody, probably Shut Up, You're Pretty.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
It could be, because then Heather also didn't say much about Shut Up, You're Pretty, I don't think. I don't remember her saying much about that book.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, no, I think she, did she, was she talking about that when she mentioned about being a kind of a runaway? Or was that just the future that she was talking about when she was talking about
that
being a runaway?
Just the future.
Okay. Yeah, I can't remember, but I think you're right. Yeah. She didn't really say anything.
No, she didn't say much, but now I'm going to have to think about that too, because you're right. When was that? I love that moment too, when she brought out her real life experience and put it onto her reading experience. I appreciated that insight into her reading, and also into her writing too, the little bit of it that I've read.
Yeah. So I've decided that if ever I get invited to be on Canada Reads, which I won't for many, many, many reasons. One of main reason is I'm not Canadian, but, and also that I would never be on it. But if I were on it, I would pick a book that I couldn't identify with personally.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what most of them will do. And I think that's the thing that hangs them up sometimes is that it personally resonated with them. And I think they have that difficulty in getting the others to see that point of view because they didn't experience it. So that's what I would do. I would pick a book that I have no personal connection to in my personal life.
Yeah. So that's and more of a window rather than a mirror.
There you go. Oh my gosh. You said that's beautiful. I like that. I would pick a window book rather than a mirror book. Yeah. I love that.
That's interesting, because I always feel so bad, like, Myron today, when she's during the vote, she looked so heartbroken because she's so attached to this book. And it's personally, it's nothing against her or the book really. Right. It's just the name of the game, but you get so attached to a book.
Well, I was gonna say too, plus they put in think of all the effort they put in. They read all the books, they do all that work, and then their own book goes out first.
Yeah.
And even though that's great because they do become a free agent, and they often have so much more to add to the show once they're a free agent. But I mean, it's like not getting picked for, you know, dodgeball when you're a kid.
Yeah.
You know, you stand there and then you get disappointed and you feel bad. But I think she handled herself with such grace today.
Oh, really, I cannot
impressed.
Wait to hear what she says for the rest of the week.
Yeah,
I
completely
agree.
She's
going to be a strong presence at the table.
And they've got, as Allie always says too, they have to kind of suck up to her now because, you know, she's a free agent. And I should say, Allie never says that. I just started to say that, but he never says that. Those were my words. Those were my bad words. Sorry.
I would love it if he said it one day at the end of the show, though. Time to start sucking up.
Exactly. Okay. So overall, I think we enjoyed today. Did we?
Yeah. It was a fun day.
Absolutely. And it's just our favorite time of year. So it's awesome.
It really is. It really is.
So just so you know, I want to just call out this again. We will be doing a YouTube live at 2 p.m. Eastern on Thursday with our good friend Jolene, who is Bookworm Adventure Girl. It's in the show notes. So we hope that you will look for us there, versus we will not be doing a podcast. We will just be doing the live at 2 o'clock, but it will be up on our YouTube channel as well. So thank you so much for joining us, and I guess we'll see you all tomorrow.
Yeah. Happy Canada Reads. Thank you for joining us on our bookish journey. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing, rating, and reviewing Canada Reads American Style wherever you listen. You can connect with the podcast and Rebecca on Instagram at Canada Reads American Style, and with Tara at On a Branch Reads. Until next time, keep reading.